This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. For a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we give you thanks for the beauty of this day, for the joy that we have knowing that we are your sons and daughters, that we are your beloved. God, we give you thanks that you love the world so much that you sent your one and only son to save each and every one of us. God, we give you thanks for the good gift of salvation, for your mission to save and redeem the whole world, the whole world. God, we give thanks that you are not afraid of the chaos of this world. In fact, you hovered over the chaos in the beginning of time and spoke an entire beautiful world into existence that you called good. God, we know that nothing that is happening in the world right now comes as a surprise to you. And so we praise God. We thank you, Lord, that you are hovering over the chaos even now, making a way out of no way. God, we thank you that you are speaking into hearts and minds, showing each and every one of us how you desire us to be the change that's needed in this world. God, bless us to be blessings to others. We thank you for our salvation that's meant not only for us, but meant to help save the world, to help your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so, Lord God. Bless us. Bless this, your nation. Bless your world, Lord God. Heal the land. Bless the leaders. Bless us to be your servant leaders. Have your way. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Please join Pastor Colvin as we explore this topic further.
Hear these words from Mark, the first chapter, beginning with verse 4. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Awesome God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We give you thanks that we are your children, that you love us, that you are pleased with us. Lord God, use this word today to show us how we are to live as children of God in this world, how we are to live as your baptized believers. I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Like a favorite movie that we watch and rewatch, we may have read and heard the story of Jesus' baptism many times. We know and recite all the words as we wait for this moment, our favorite scenes, the heavens parting and the Spirit descending. And even though the scene and the text are familiar, because the Word of God is alive, it has the possibility to show us something fresh today. It's like seeing something new in an old family photo. Perhaps you never noticed the one who is never smiling. Or maybe you never noticed that something or someone trying to photobomb your perfect picture. And this is an incredible picture that Mark has painted for us in chapter 1. Mark's account of Jesus' life and ministry doesn't begin with the family tree. It doesn't begin with angels visiting or a miracle birth. It begins with the miracle of new birth that we know as baptism. Mark paints quite a picture, an eccentric and eclectic, in other words, weird, John the Baptist living in the wilderness, eating locust and honey, in other words, vegan and juicing everything. John is the strange sidekick cousin of Jesus who is preparing the way of the Lord, who is preaching about repentance and forgiveness of sin so that hearts are ready for the baptism and everything that Christ will bring. It's an incredible picture, a revival of sorts going on. The text says that the whole Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem was coming out to the revival, hearing the word and being baptized. And then one day, Jesus of Nazareth was among that crowd. And although he had no sin to repent of, he still submitted himself. He still surrendered, just as we do in baptism, so that he might be blessed and equipped for the journey ahead. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. He saw the heavens being torn apart. Friends, this is the part of the picture that has jumped out for me this week. We will get to the fact that we are God's beloved. We'll get to the fact that God is pleased with us. We'll get to the fact that the Holy Spirit has touched and empowered each and every one of us to do the will of God. We'll get there. But right now, I am in awe of the fact that God will tear through the heavens for us. God will tear through the heavens so that we feel God's love, so that we feel God's blessing, so that we know God's provision and power. I'm in awe that God will tear through the heavens so that we know God's hand of protection on us, so that we know we belong to God. One song says it this way. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out, break our walls down. Spirit, break out, heaven, come down. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Maybe it's the dove image that has always made me imagine baptism of Christ as this serene, peaceful thing, when in fact it's no small thing for the heavens to be torn apart. It's no simple thing. Redemption of the world is work. I have imagined it peacefully when in fact it was God sounding the alarm. It was the beginning of God's war on sin. I imagine the heavens tearing open at the baptism might have been quite similar to that moment during the crucifixion when the veil of the temple was split in two, when the curtain separating heaven and earth was torn apart. One theologian said it this way, it is as if God will no longer tolerate a separation of God and God's people. Friends, in baptism and in crucifixion, God tears the heavens open with the same goal in mind, redemption. Yes, saving individual souls, but also saving the whole world. Redeeming each of us and redeeming all of creation, including the systems and structures that we create that don't bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So it's no wonder in a week like the week we've had, I can hear the sound of heaven touching earth. I can hear the God who hovered over chaos and created a world hovering over our mess and speaking new life. It has been a crazy, chaotic week, and still God is in control. Still God is on the throne. Still God raises up leaders and casts them down. Still God is moving heaven and earth for our sake. And on this day that we celebrate Christ's baptism and remember our own, God is tearing the heavens open to remind us that we are beloved. And because of that, we were bought with a price. And because of that, we are claimed as God's own. And because of that, our redemption brings with it responsibilities. Yes, salvation is free. Yes, grace is unmerited and unearned. Yes, God's love is unconditional. It doesn't cost a thing, which is all the more reason we should give thanks and all the more reason we should live thanks. Baptism looks back with gratitude on what God has done, and it looks forward with hope to what God's grace will do in the future, what God's grace at work in us will accomplish through us. While baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime event, it has lifetime implications. It anticipates a life lived in relationship with God, lived in service to God. And because of that, in the United Methodist Church, our baptismal vows ask us the following questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him? Given the week we've had, I can understand why God asks us, why God commands us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. When it's wrapped in a flag, when it's masquerading as a patriot or a president, in whatever form they present themselves. Given the chaos that God hovered over at the Capitol on Wednesday, given the chaos that God hovers over in our own personal crises, I can understand why God asks us to put our whole trust in His grace. Grace. God's grace, we believe, is the main thing at work in baptism. Grace that calls us into relationship with God even before we know we need His help, even before we know we're sinners in need of saving. Grace that cleanses us of all sin. Grace that guides us in the way that leads to eternal life. And because God is concerned with our earthly life as well as our eternal life, we're called to serve. Our vows ask us, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve Christ as representatives in the world? Friends, I wonder how we represented Christ this week on Facebook, on Twitter. I wonder how we represented Christ in the stores as we encountered folks wearing their ideologies that might differ from ours. How did we, the baptized believers, represent our Savior? How did we help heaven touch earth as we allowed grace to work in us? I wonder how we unfolded our praying hands and put them to work, helping justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. explained our call to service through baptism this way. He says, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will be only an initial act. One day, the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that men and women will not be beaten and robbed as they make their journey through life. True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It understands that an edifice that produces beggars needs restructuring. An edifice that produces beggars needs restructuring. Church, this is an entirely different way of understanding the redemption of the world. Throughout history of the church, a focus on our personal salvation, us getting saved, has made us think that that's the whole story, that that's the whole reason God tore the heavens apart. Friends, personal salvation is a much easier win than social transformation. Don't get me wrong, God cares that we're saved. God cares that we know where we'll spend the afterlife. Our personal redemption is necessary if the social order, if the world is to be redeemed. It's necessary, but it's not the end of the story. The question is, once we're saved, what are we doing to lead others to salvation? What are we doing to save the world even? I've told you before about South American Bishop Oscar Romero. He was murdered in his church while celebrating Holy Communion. He gave his whole life trying to end oppression in his country, trying to redeem the social order. And he explained his calling, our calling, this way. Faced with human suffering, all people of compassion must confront this dilemma. Either become numb to the pain of those around you or begin to take action on their behalf. Friends, as people of compassion, as baptized believers, we have two choices, be numb or be neighborly. That is, to be busy serving God and neighbor. We have two choices, to ignore the world's problems or to give ourselves away. As people of compassion, we have two choices, to be the change that we want to see in the world or to be a part of the problems that we complain about. We have a choice to serve the kingdom or sabotage the kingdom. Charles Wesley's hymn sums it up for us this way. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, an ever dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. The sky, the heavens that God tears through to get to his beloved, to bless us with his Holy Spirit. And it's no wonder that this miracle blessing took place in the water. God could have sent the Spirit to Christ in the temple, as God did on the day of Pentecost. God could have sent his Spirit during a holy feast, but this blessing occurred in the waters. We know that water represents life. It makes up the majority of the earth. It makes up the majority of our bodies. It can be associated with everything from birth to simple refreshment. In other words, life and new life can be found in God's waters. From Genesis to Revelation, water flows through the scriptures, shaping the landscape of the sacred text. Water surfaces, bubbles up again and again in the story of the people of God. And almost always it's a sign of God's provision, God's providence, God's care for those God has claimed. And by the time we see Jesus meeting John at the Jordan in today's text, we have already crossed this river before. This is the River Jordan in which generations before the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, bearing the Ark that contained the Spirit of God, this is the river that they stood in, stopping the waters so that the entire community, every single one of the children of Israel, could pass through to the other side. The elders who moved slower than the crowd. The youth who had the energy for the journey but didn't know the path. Every single one of them walked through these waters. Even the ones who never wanted to leave Egypt, the ones who'd been grumbling and complaining because they wanted to come back, turn back. This Jordan that Jesus is dipped into holds the stories and the spirits of his ancestors. The stories and spirit of his people flow through these waters. And friends, I wonder, how are we stirring up the waters for the generations to come? What difference will our baptism, our passing through the waters, what difference will our life of service make for those who will come after us? This is the River Jordan that Elijah struck with his mantle so he and Elisha could cross moments before Elijah was taken up. This is the Jordan that Elisha tells Naaman to wash himself in so he could be cleansed of leprosy. This is the Jordan that King David crosses with all of Israel as he heads to war. This river holds the history of the people, the victories and defeats, the tragedies and the triumphs, the tears and the laughter, the songs and the silent prayers are in these waters. This is the river. These are the waters that Jesus wades into to begin his new life. I wonder, what are the stories that our baptismal waters tell, the communities of faith that we were baptized into? What are the stories? What is the legacy? I imagine that Jesus had witnessed countless baptisms, but none compared to his own. The heavens being torn apart so that the presence and power of God might be revealed. I know that many of us don't remember our baptisms because we were baptized as babies or even young children. But one thing we can be sure of, with or without a memory of it, is that the presence and the power of God fell on that day. One thing we can be sure of is that the Holy Spirit is upon us, offering everything we need to live as God's beloved, to live as a beloved community. Baptism says to us, your joy, your pain, your gain, your loss are ours, for you are one of us. I wonder, as people of compassion, as baptized believers, whose pain do we need to hold today? Whose loss can we lessen as we journey with them? I wonder, has anyone's joy brought you joy this week? Perhaps Reverend Raphael Warnock's joy. Maybe Georgia's joy. I wonder, what does it look like, given the week we had, to bear one another's burdens and to share one another's joys? What does it look like, given the week we had, to remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and to serve as Christ's representatives in the world? How are we representing Christ? Because the truth of the matter is, there is someone waiting on you to introduce them to Jesus. The believers Paul encountered in the Acts 19 text had heard of Jesus. They had repented. They had even been baptized. But when he asked if they had received the Holy Ghost, they answered that they had not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. They hadn't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Friends, there's someone who knows we go to church. They know we love God, but they haven't seen the power of the Holy Ghost alive in us. There's someone who has no idea what it looks like to have the Holy Spirit fight your battles because they are waiting on our witness. God did not tear the heavens open for us to be private praisers, for us to be silent servants. God tore the heavens open for us to know that it's possible for heaven to touch earth, for us to know that it's possible for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. It's possible if we remember our baptism and give thanks, if we remember our baptism and live thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God is speaking to you today? Seeds have been planted and God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.